Blog Talk Radio.
It's Chaz time.
It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout, I stand out. Pace is needed in this game, I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory. Run a circle around competition like it was 60. I gave everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I was a true sport.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to True Sport Radio with Chastity Melvin. I'm your host, Chastity. And as a passionate athlete success coach, I've learned that many sports stories happen that can inspire, motivate, and challenge anyone, not only on the court, but in the biggest game of all, the game of life. And joining the show today, I'm excited to have Andre Davis, former 10-year NFL veteran that played with the Buffalo Bills, Denver Broncos, and the Cleveland Browns. And we all know NFL stands for not for long, but this guy has a pretty long career, and I'm excited to have him on the show and hear his story. It's Dre Day. Andre, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Miss Chaz? I was loving the intro. You cut it off. I didn't really get a chance to hear it all.
Oh, okay. I'll play it again. Yeah, one of my friends thought I should have some swag, so she tried to give me a little bit of swag with my radio show.
No, I love it. I love it. It sounds great.
Thank you, thank you, thanks. Thanks for coming on. We're just going to conversate here. I just want to know a little bit about, first let's start off, tell me a little bit about where you were raised, where you were born, your upbringing, that kind of thing.
I'm from a small town in Florida. It's called Live Oak, Florida. It's approximately about 7,000 people. It's right between Jacksonville and Tallahassee. Like I said, real country. One middle school, one high school, two elementaries, town that where everybody knows everybody, and they are football crazy in my little small town. We have had a lot of athletes to have success in their hometown, but unfortunately, a lot of guys don't make it out because of, drugs or not doing their work or get caught up in women. Same thing a lot of other towns get. A lot of the things that trap people. So we deal with the same issues. But it was cool, though. It's cool growing up in a little small town. I love it. Country boy to the heart. So, I mean, I learned a lot growing up there, and I wouldn't trade it. I definitely wouldn't trade it.
I wouldn't trade it for the world either, Andre. I'm a country girl. Small town, one-stop white town myself.
I can tell. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, one-stop white town. I said, the show is early. I was just talking. I was like, I got to get this country talk out of my voice.
No. I love it.
We learned a lot growing up in the small town. And like you said, just overall, just the will and drive to try to be something better and try to, achieve dreams that in a small town, everybody's just like, hey, we're cool, we're laid back. It's just, it is what it is, kind of. So when you're trying to go after something that many people believe in a small town, it's kind of impossible. So what got you started playing football? Like, did you just play to have fun? Did you always know, I want to do this? Or is this just, tell me a little bit about that.
My father was an athlete. He played ball in college up until he tore his shoulder. He was a quarterback. And my mom was a really good athlete. She played college basketball at Shaw University in North Carolina. She actually was inducted to the Hall of Fame for basketball there. So she's a great athlete. She's the best athlete in our family, I say. But my mom had a bunch of brothers, and how in the country you always got one or two or three real big families, and we were one of those big families. The Owens family had a bunch of kids, so it was a bunch of grandkids, so I had a bunch of cousins running around. At one point, I had 63 first cousins, and I want to say 55 of us was boys, so we competed in everything, football, basketball. When we get out of school, we used to run up and down the streets, play the Florida versus Florida State, football game, and then during basketball season, we'll just go out there in the backyard, one of them homemade baskets,
yeah,
and play basketball. So we just competed all the time. And as I got bigger, actually basketball was my first love. I always thought I was going to try to go to the NBA, but one of my football coaches, he sat me down. He said, man, you're not going to get taller than 6'1". So, but football, I always loved football as well. But I knew I started developing. I started getting bigger, faster, stronger, and I knew football was my key out. And I just wanted to just get out of my hometown, like whatever it was going to take. If I didn't get a scholarship to play football, I was going to go to the Army. I just wanted to get away. Just trying to, like you said earlier, just trying to find a way to get out. And football was my calling. Football was my key to get out. And I ended up going to the University of Florida. Had some success there. Got hurt. Came back from an injury and was blessed, fortunate to make it to the league and have a long career.
Speaking a little bit about, I was just talking with someone yesterday, Andre, about how kids, my niece, they really, even back home in my small town, when I go home, nobody is outside playing like we used to do. You know, we
it's crazy,
competed, we
right?
played every game outside. And don't you think that's kind of going to hurt the game and hurt athletes? Because now, I mean, it probably helps trainers because now parents want to get kids trainers because they don't go out and play. But that's how we train. That was our trainer going outside.
It's crazy because I was at my daughter's basketball practice yesterday. She's on a club team, and I was talking to one of the fathers, and we were asking, you know, what's worth it? Because you can put all this money into a kid, and a lot of parents hope that their kid are good enough to go to the next level. I told him the difference was I didn't have that. I didn't know. My first time experiencing what a club was really was when I had kids and when I put my kids in it. But I told him the difference was because when I was growing up back in Florida, I had my family was like a club. So it was for us to go outside and play ball all day, all night, we were getting better. We were developing our skills. Unfortunately for my kids and for a lot of people, once we leave our hometowns, they don't have their cousins to play with no more. So we have to kind of put them in some kind of club, some kind of team organization, because like the people in the neighborhood, you pretty much don't know everybody, or you know, you got all type of different people that's living around you these days. It's not like you can go outside or go up the street and your cousin right there. So that's the crazy part. But even like when, like you said, when I go back home, it's not like that no more. You got so many other things that got these kids' mind, cell phones. I didn't have my first cell phone until I was in college. But every kid almost pretty much these days have a cell phone. All these video games and stuff, we didn't have any of that stuff. It was like, boy, you better get your behind outside and play. Get away from here. Something like that. Yeah. It was that tight, but now it's not like that no more.
Yeah, it's very interesting because now my sister's asking me, I need to get her a trainer. And I was like, yeah, I guess you do, because there's nowhere for them to go outside and really develop her skills and compete against other players. It's changing the game.
Sad.
The game has changed. It's changed a lot. It's changed tremendously. I don't know. I guess only time will tell if it really hurts it or if it makes it better.
I mean, I think, you know, if it's in them, it's in them. Obviously, training might help. But when you were growing up and you were playing against your cousins, your sisters, if you guys got fouled hard, it wasn't no big issue because it's your cousin and your sister. So you guys learn to play through that or play with that. Nowadays, for instance, I live out here in Denver, and the kids that my daughter play with, they're tough girls. They beat everybody here in Denver, but when they go out of state and play against the Calis or teams that girls are living in a place where they are doing everything they can and just try to make it out, they're not ready for that. Like, they really are not ready for that. Like, those girls be pressing up on them and manning the whole, pressing the whole court, And them girls are not ready for that because they live in comfortable homes, and, you know, they don't have to worry about what they're going to wear to school. They don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. But when they face somebody who's living like that every day, who's hungry, who needs basketball to get out of that situation, they're not prepared to face those girls.
Definitely.
And I think that was a lot of what I had. That's a lot of my motivation growing up. Growing up in a house in the country, you turn the lights on, roaches everywhere, not knowing what you're going to wear to school or having to wear the same pair of shorts three times that week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, with a different T-shirt or something, try to switch it up, throw people off. These kids these days, a lot of them don't have to go through those struggles.
Yeah, and their grandparents are something else, aren't they?
Yes.
Andre, speaking about you know, just the upbringing that you had and not having the financial stability, once you entered the NFL and you got all that money, you got all that financial stability, how were you with it as opposed to coming in and then leaving after retirement? Can you just tell, like, what was your high and what was your low?
You know, believe this or not, crazy as it might sound, my first 3 years in the NFL, I was broke after every offseason. And my first year, I didn't know. Nobody told me. I should have asked more questions, but I was just so excited to be in the league. Nobody told me that you only got paid from September through the end of December. So you only get paid during football season. Some teams pay you weekly. Some teams pay you every 2 weeks. But you only get paid during that season. So once my last game was over, my rookie year, after a couple weeks, I called up and I'm like, you know, I haven't got no check in a couple weeks. And they were like, you are not going to get no check. So it's over. So for 17 weeks you get paid and for 35 weeks you don't. So you have to manage that money throughout that whole year. And I didn't realize that. So I went broke. Not that I was a big spender, not that I splurged a lot, because like I said, most guys from the country, we're satisfied, we're happy with, you know, a little bit of nothing. We've always been that way. But I wasted a bunch of my money on, like, helping folks, helping my family, helping a lot of friends. And I have a big heart, and I couldn't say no. Like, I figured, you know, if my mom made $25,000 to $30,000 a year, and she's taking care of three kids, here I am, my rookie year, making $225,000. I'm super rich. I can take care of everybody. So I didn't know anything about taxes. I didn't know any. Like, the first time I ever wrote a check was when I got to the NFL. So I had no understanding about any of these things. And I'm not blaming it on nobody. I should have did a better job myself of asking questions, doing my own research. But I was just like everybody else. I thought, if you make it to the NFL, you're automatically rich. I still had that same mentality growing up, that if you had $1 million, you set for the rest of your life. I had that mentality that everybody else had, but it was so far from the truth. So after my first year, I struggled in off season. My second year, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to learn from the first year. So, and I did. I managed to last a little bit longer, but I still went broke. And then the third year, I'm like, man, I'm really going to do it. I'm really going to be straight this time. But I lasted right until the season started again. So I lasted longer than the first 2 years. But after that, like, I really had to tell myself I had to stop. I had to start saying no. You know, I've helped a lot of people. And it was just making myself worry, it was making myself stress, and so I really had to stop. I had to start saying no. At this time, me and my wife, she's my high school sweetheart. We've been dating for 19 years, and we've been married for 12 now. But we're in the same kindergarten classes and stuff like that. She's from the same little small town, and so. We try to help everybody back home. We try to help a lot of friends. Like I said, I went into the league in debt because when I was at UF, I thought I was going to get drafted higher than I actually got drafted. So I took out loans, and I also had a nice vehicle, thinking that they were just giving it to me, not knowing or realizing that they wanted their money back ASAP. I didn't understand about interest or anything like that, so the interest just kept piling up because I wasn't paying my loans back. So it was just a big whirlwind of things that I didn't really truly understand. So I was fortunate enough to sign a nice contract my fourth year, and from that moment on, you know, we've done very, very well with our finances. And one of my main things while I was playing was to always pay off the home that I wanted to live in, so once I was done, I can have less pressure as possible, less stress. So we've done that. So we're in a great situation right now, and which allows us to do the things that we want to do, and which is run our kids around and be full-time parents with them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I hear that story a lot, and obviously being a professional athlete, I just remember, like you said, you come in and you think, oh, I got this money, and then everybody knows you have this money, so that kind of makes it hard to say no, because it's like, no, you know, everybody can read and see what you signed for. The biggest thing I remember, like you said, with taxes, I remember I was waiting on my first check, my rookie season. I got my check, and I looked, and I saw the taxes taken out, and I called my mother, and I was like, Mom, what's wrong? I'm like, something's wrong with my check. She's like, what do you mean? It was like, they took money. She was like, welcome to the real world, baby.
You know, and it was another crazy story. It was one time that I got kind of upset. I sent money home and paid tithe to my church. And, you know, you send a 10%, so they automatically try to figure out what that 10% was. So after that happened to me, I just started breaking my money down and started sending money, sending tithe to all the churches instead of one church. Because you send one lump sum to a church, they're like, well, oh, this 10% of that right there. So now they're calling, asking on the side, like, for help. And they figure out, okay, now, so, like, it was just, and it was so, like, so hard to say no, because, you know, some of these same people help you get to where you at. But in the day, they don't realize, like you said earlier, NFL stands for not for long. And you still, even if you play 10 years like I did, I retired when I was just turning 33, I still got the rest of my life. And once you're out, you're out. That money stopped coming, but them bills, they be, man, it seemed like once I retired, it seemed like everything stopped breaking down. In the house and the cars. I'm like, what? Like, none of this stuff happened when I was playing, but as soon as I retired, like, everything, I got to come out of my pocket for everything now.
Andre, that's so true. And like you said, the game stops. I mean, the game stops, but life doesn't stop. And that's what a lot of athletes do. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about retirement and what happened after you retired and how you felt. We'll be right back.
All right, cool.
It's Chaz time.
It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout. I stand out. Pace is needed in this game. I never ran out. All I ever wanted was a victory. Running circles around competition like it was 60. I gave everything on the court. And when it's all over, let them say I was a true sport.
Welcome back, everyone. You're tuning in to True Sport Radio. And if you're just tuning in, I have the great Andre Davis, former 10-year NFL veteran, on the show. And he's given us the W, the where, the when, the why, the way to be successful in on the court. Well, for Andre, on the field and off the field and in the biggest game of all, the game of life. Andre, what a great story. It's great conversing with you right now. Let's talk about retirement. I just retired 2 years ago. So I'm sure we still have relatable stories.
Yeah, so you're a newbie.
I'm a newbie. Once you retired, tell me about how you felt and how you struggled a little bit.
you know, like, I was one of those guys, I've heard a lot of horror stories in the locker room, so I was trying to prepare myself, and I told myself, well, it's not going to happen to me. I feel that if I have my finances right, I was able to sit home and watch Sports Center each and every day. I felt I would be able to do that. I did that for like 2 days, and I went crazy. I'm like, they keep showing the same stuff over and over, and I gained a lot of weight because I was like, if I wasn't watching Sports Center, I was telling my wife, let's go eat. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it was either going out to eat every morning or watching TV, but it was just like the same routine. But it got to a point where I got so depressed because I needed that schedule. I was so used to being on that schedule, knowing at what time of the year I needed to start training, at what time of the year I needed to start getting my body right, get my mind right. And just the little simple things of when springtime come, or you can, like, people cutting their grass and you can smell, you know, that fresh cut grass when you walk outside. And that just triggers something in your mind, especially a football player, that, you know, I'm supposed to be on the field. It's spring training, or it's time for training camp, or it's getting ready for the season. And I'm sitting here home. And then another thing that was getting to me a little bit was the fact that there were still guys that I knew younger than me, but I was like, man, I'm better than that guy. I know I should be on the team. So you mean to tell me that this guy's better than me and he deserves to be on the team, but I don't? So it's like little mind games that, you know, the devil was playing on me and I had to fight through. And you know, like I said, playing starting football at 6 years old and playing until I was 33, 27 years of my life, it was football, 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 football. Every year, football, football. And once it was done, I didn't realize that it was going to have that effect. And my wife, she summed it up best for me. She was like, she was trying to get into my mind and try to understand, like, you know, what I was going through. And she summed it up as, you know, a mother or somebody losing their child. Like, I had died, like football had died within me. I was never going to get the opportunity to play again. So, and it was really true. It was just like I had, you know, something had died in me and that I couldn't get back. So I was just going through all these kind of different stressors. And like I said, it wasn't financially, you know, that part was good, but I was just losing it. I felt that I wasn't good enough to be on somebody's team, even though I had played 10 years, even though I had a successful career. It was like, nothing that I had accomplished before didn't matter, because I don't know how it is, you know, in the WNBA, because I know Rusia, she's very active in a lot of activities. It sounds like you are as well. But with football, it's so many guys, once you're out of that door, they don't let you back in unless you come through the visitor entrance. You know, so it's like once they're done with you. You're like, man, I just gave you, like, when I was in Cleveland, I gave Cleveland 7 years of my life, and I gave them all that. I gave them all to me. And once I left there, it was like I was a stranger. And I'm like, wow, this is how it really is. This is what guys go through. I'm like, you guys truly don't care about, you know, how somebody's feeling mentally. So it was kind of like the real world. And even though my finances were good, like my friends that the few friends that I had were all involved in football, so they had to go to work. I didn't know anybody outside of football, so it was like, what do I do? So I'm knocking my wife routine off. When the kids get home from school, I'm telling them, you guys don't have to do your homework. Y'all just go out there and play. Y'all been in school all day. And she was like, well, for 10 years, that's how I've been doing it. I've been having them do their homework, you know, and it's proven to be successful. They make good grades. So I'm knocking her routine off. Like, I'm aggravating everybody. I was just so lost myself mentally. I didn't really know what to do. I really didn't. And I started thinking I was going crazy. And around this time, it was Junior Seau had killed himself. The kid from Kansas City had killed himself and his girlfriend. And I never thought about hurting my family. But I truly admit I did think about hurting myself because I was just at this space in my life where I didn't know what to do. I was like, I wanted people to feel the way I felt so bad that I felt the only way that they would feel the way I feel was for me to do something to myself. And I contemplated so many times. I would argue at my wife at her cleaning up too much. I know it sounds ridiculous, yeah, but it's the truth. Like, if the vacuum was on too long or, like, the kids running around making too much noise, like, it was just making my head hurt so bad that I'm like, what's going on? And I was snapping at everybody for every little reason. And I really didn't understand what was going on with myself. So eventually, my wife convinced me to go see a doctor. And I'm like, I'm not going to see no doctor because they're going to think I'm crazy. And then, but I ended up going, and then I went to see a psychiatrist, and that wasn't for me because they keep asking the same questions. They're like, well, you know, you made through that situation. How did that make you feel? You made through that. Well, how did that make you feel? Or I'm like, you ain't telling me nothing to help me. You just keep asking me how did that make me feel. You know, you trying to get me, I guess, trying to get me to search out the answer for myself. So that didn't really work for me. So eventually I started going to this Bible study. It's called Alpha Game Ministries. My man Chip Simmons, he hosted this, and it's catered toward former athletes. And I was finally in a situation where I felt comfortable again because there was a lot of people who understood what I was going through. And I did this 40-day fast, and it was great for me because it was the first time I did a 40-day fast other than trying to lose weight or other than doing it because my wife was doing it. I personally truly did it for myself. And I was committed to my word in the morning, committed to my word in the afternoon, just really being committed. I gave up anything with flour, so no breads, no cookies, none of that stuff. I was just drinking straight water. And I can truly tell you, Ms. Chassie, that like I've heard people say they heard the Lord's voice and stuff like that, but I never heard that until, like, it was day 34 or 35 of that fast. And it was just like me and you talking now. It was like 4:30 in the morning, and I can just clearly hear, like, the Lord's voice and was saying, get up and go to Romans 12:2. And I'm not this Bible scholar. I wish I was, but I'm not a Bible scholar where I can tell you where verses of the chapter, verses and chapters and stuff like that. I wish I was, but I'm not that guy. So I don't know why it was like 12:2, Romans 12:2. And I went and I read that, and it blew my mind because it was exactly the things that I was going through. And, you know, the 12:2 is do not be conformed of the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that was like, wow, this is exactly what I'm going through at this dark time in my life because I'm thinking about what the world think of me now that I'm not playing. I'm thinking the world thinking that I'm sorry, I'm not good enough to be out there, or this guy done spent all this money. I'm thinking about all these negative statistics that the world is saying instead of, like, focusing on, you know, what God is saying, like doing what's the perfect will of God, focusing on myself and bettering my relationship with God. That's what I should have been focusing on instead of focusing on those negative things. And it was the answer that I was truly searching for. So with my my retirement and stuff, that was exactly what I needed. And once I got that word from God, like, it seemed like everything started getting better and better and better and better because I would stop focusing on the negative. I stopped going in the basement, sitting in the dark room by myself. I stopped isolating myself from my family, from my friends, and started trying to help people. And once I told my story to a couple of people, a lot of other people was like, man, I was going through the same situation. I stopped worrying about people thinking I was crazy and started opening up and telling, you know, what I went through. Because people look at me on the outside and be like, man, you got it all. You got, you know, your family. You got, you know, saying straight financially. Like, you don't have nothing to worry about. But I was so lost. It was so dark on the inside of my soul that I was literally contemplating, you know, taking myself away from here because I needed that help. And I was tired of putting on that front that people look at me and think I was good when I was all bad. So that was exactly what I needed at that time. So that's what helped me get through my transition from ball.
That's powerful, Andre. I mean, really powerful. Spirituality and athletes, that's another topic that I want to have on the show at some point. And I was PK, so I was raised preacher kid. My dad was a preacher, yeah. So... But, you know, I came into the league. I just visited with my girls out in Dallas, and they were like, well, Chance, you know, you remember how you were. You're cool now. You came in the league. Like, you got to get in your Bible, read the Bible. This is good. But now.
Yeah, I miss you. You know, I was that aching thing. Yeah, we missed each other.
Yeah, we missed each other. But that's awesome that you know, God is all powerful, and I truly believe that.
Oh, yes.
But obviously.
Yes.
You preach that, you teach that, you're always talking about your relationship with God. And I'm sure this story will help a lot of, not just athletes, but people tuning in. And now that I recently retired and I understand what you're talking about with the psychiatrist and talking to different people, you kind of want, it's different because you want somebody to understand where you are. My parents and my family
yeah.
are the same way, and I have my spiritual connection. But I was just like, no, I need somebody to understand how I feel. Like, they just don't get it. And that's kind of like why I got my certification. And I want to, you know, do what I do now, start my consulting business with athletes going through transitions and just being stagnant and stuff like that, because I can kind of relate and then kind of help them get on a more successful path. Because, you know, you isolate yourself and, I was being negative to people, and I've never been negative, and it's just like what you're dealing with, you don't even realize it. You're just, like you said, you feel like everyone's just crazy, and you feel like everybody's looking at you like, I was going home, and everybody's like, okay, what are you going to do now? You got to be successful again, like, right away.
Yeah,
and
it's like
you said, I can't even get back in the door for the team I played for.
Exactly.
Like, there's a new star, so, you know, you have all these types of pressures. So it's great to hear your story. I didn't mean to keep you so long, Andre, but it's just a great conversation.
Hey, listen, I'm available anytime. Just let me know. Like, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm enjoying it. So I know you got to get somebody else on, but anytime, like, seriously, like, whatever topic you want to talk about, I'm available. I make myself available because, I appreciate what you're doing, and I want to just help out as well.
Awesome. Before I let you go, I have just two quick things. One thing is, like, all of us as athletes, we have that flashback moment throughout our career that sometimes, you know, wakes us up at night, or we're just driving or hanging out like, dang, if I had that playback, this is what I would do. What's your flashback play? Like, yeah, one play that you could just do over again. What is it?
Oh, that's a tough one right there, because I've messed up on so many plays and I've contributed to so many L's in my career. that's tough right there. In the league, college, or, you know, it really matters.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, college, the league, just one that kind of says, dang, you catch yourself like, oh, I wish I had that playback.
You know, it was just something stupid. And we were blowing this team out. This is actually one of the games that we were winning. We were beating Kansas City at the time, and I wasn't playing that much. It was my last year. I wasn't playing that much. A lot of guys out there making plays, and it was just a call for more of a passing style game. And then when I got my opportunity to go in the game, I wanted to make a play bad as well. And me and the D coordinator, George Elvis, we were very, very close. and we're still close to this day. And he knew what I was going to do before I did it. And I knew the right thing to do, but by me wanting to make a play, I just totally, like, zoned out. And I was supposed to be guarding this guy man-to-man, but I blitzed instead of guarding the guy man-to-man. And the quarterback threw it to my guy. He was wide open. So it wasn't nothing that cost us the game or anything, but it was just one of those plays that I'm like, man, I know exactly what to do. But me being stubborn, me wanting to make a play, me wanting to have that glory, 5 seconds of glory, caused me to have a mental breakdown where I knew I was smart enough. So it wasn't nothing terrible, but like that play stands out all the time because every time I talk to my coach, we always bring it back up. So I would say that.
I'm sure. Okay, and last but not least, you can't leave the show without giving just two of your favorite quotes or two things you live by to just, you know, be successful in life and going after your dreams. Like, just two things you live by that you would tell anyone, you know, man, every man, woman, and child. What would you tell them? That this is what Andre lives by, this is what Andre does to be successful.
These two things I tell, and honestly, these two things I tell my kids every morning, like when I drop them off to school. First of all, I tell them I love them, but the two things that stand out to them, and I tell them when they get out the vehicle, conquer the world. You know, however you can do it, just conquer the world. And two, I tell them, as long as they can look themselves in the mirror and they know they did their best, I can live with it. So if you come home and you make a C on the test and I see that you're studying and we got you the help that you need, you know, the tutor and this and that, and you bring a C, I'm fine with that. But if you bring a C home and I see you watching TV and you're not really getting into your work, I can't live with that. And that go on the field as well. Like, if you go out and do your best and you miss 1,000 layups up under the basket. So if I miss 1,000 tackles and I know I did my best, hey, I can live with that. I'm cool. Like, the games that I've contributed to losing, I know I did my best. Sometimes, hey, you know, as an athlete yourself, sometimes it just don't go your way. But as long as I know I did my best, I'm cool with that. So I say, doing your best, as long as you can look yourself, because the hardest person to lie to is that person in the mirror. So you know you did your best, and you go out there and you have the mentality to conquer the world, because those obstacles that we spoke about earlier, they're going to come. So you have to be prepared to face them. So
awesome. Do your
best and conquer the world.
Do your best and conquer the world. You heard it here on True Sport Radio with Chastity Melvin, my guy Andre Davis, speaking knowledge and helping us win in the game of life. Thank you so much, Andre.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be right back with my True Sport of the Week. Don't go anywhere.
It's Chaz time.
It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never won no handout. I stand out. Pace is needed in this game. I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory. Running circles around competition like it was 6-3. I gave everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I was the truth.
Welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, you missed live and wild and about Andre Davis, former 10-year NFL veteran that played with the Buffalo Bills, Denver Broncos, and the Cleveland Browns. And his story was awesome. It's motivated and inspired me on a Friday. And I'm ready to start my week and enjoy my weekend with just everything I learned from him. And he left us on the show with conquer the world, any and everybody. You can conquer the world and conquer the world by doing your best in every moment, every opportunity that you have. Right now, I'm just going to give you my true sport pick of the week, and we'll end the show. And obviously, my true sport of the week goes to none other than North Carolinian, Coach Dean Smith. I grew up admiring this man, admiring UNC before I became a faithful Wolfpack fan. I played at the great NC State, but I got to meet Coach Dean Smith, take a picture with him, and it was like one of the best moments of my high school career. But anyways, head coach, former coach at the University of North Carolina, that passed away, in his will, he left each of his players that lettered under him $200 checks. Okay, can you get this? He's always above and beyond the rest of everyone else in the game, and obviously he's above the NCAA because even though it was illegal to give his players money while he coached them, going on even to his death, he was thinking about his players in his will and after retirement, and he left each of his players a check for $200, and that's just the true testament of a true sport. Not only on the game, but the players and the idea he had of a team, he was the epitome of being a true sport in the game of athletics. Each player who lettered while he was coaching received a check with a message that said, quote, "Enjoy a dinner out, compliments of Coach Dean Smith." And I just think that's pretty awesome, and he's my true sport pick of the week. Again, you're listening to True Sport Radio with Chastity Melvin. Thanks for tuning in. I'm so grateful to Andre Davis for calling in today. And I'm your person to listen in on if you want to get the W, the when, the where, the why, and the way to be successful on the field, on the court, but basically and more importantly, in the game of life. Have an awesome weekend. And remember, it is what it is. It ain't what it ain't. And everything is everything. Nothing is nothing. Things turning into something. God bless you. Have a safe weekend. Be safe. And I'll see you next Friday.
It's Chaz time.
It's a baller thing, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never won no handout. I stand out. Pace is needed in this game. I never ran out. All I ever wanted was a victory. Running circles around competition like it was 60. I gave everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I was a true sport.